What's going on, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Strain Forward Podcast. Today, I'm actually super excited about this. I'm having a conversation, my first ever legitimate conversation with a legitimate nutritionist. Her name's Meredith. She's been doing this for quite a long time. I'm excited for her to bring you guys a ton of value. Her specialty, I'll let her get into her specialty, but she's worked with athletes over the years. She's worked with teens. She's an expert in metabolic flexibility, all the things. And I'm excited for her to break this down for us. Selfishly, I'm excited to just gain even more knowledge that I can apply to my own life. So this is going to be really great. I'm going to let her kick us off by just tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into nutrition, why you're into it, and we'll kind of go from there.
Absolutely. Thanks, Kyle. Thanks for having me on. Like you said, I've been a nutritionist for a long time. I actually have been coaching people in nutrition for about 9 years. It's kind of a long story, but to give some highlights, I actually have struggled most of my life with eating disorders since I was 14. And when I realized that nutrition was not, when food was not my enemy, when it was fuel and that I could eat good food and feel good and I didn't have to starve myself and I didn't have to punish myself for running or with running if I ate too much or what I thought was too much, those kind of things. I just wanted to tell everybody, I'm like, why does everybody not know this? Why are we living in this culture where we think less is the right answer, right? Because I was under 8 and starved myself for so many years, right? And tried every fad diet that was out there and all of the things. So when I realized that there was a better way, I really just wanted to tell as many people as I can, but I needed help. So I had gotten a coach that I worked with, actually two of them, and they really just helped me learn so much. And then I actually, they mentored me and I got nutrition certifications. And these are two people that have PhDs and are way smarter than I am. But I had learned so much from them. And then I was actually, during COVID, was able to do this as a full-time job, right? The world shut down. I wanted to help the world. That was my goal. I wanted to tell the world. And honestly, I've been lucky enough that I've actually worked with people all over the world and had a client on at least every continent. So that's been kind of cool. But that's kind of the biggest reason that I do this, and I'm passionate about it. And I can talk everybody's ear off because there's so many things I just want people to know, and the things that we see and all the clients that I've worked with, like the one thing that we find most often is that people are under eating, that they're not eating enough. And so that's really where I want people to know, teach people how to eat for the rest of their life, but know that it's okay to eat food.
Yeah. So gosh, there's so many ways I want to go off of that. But the first thing is I want to go back to the piece where you said you really struggled with an eating disorder, and you struggled specifically with, we said, starving yourself. So just not eating enough.
So there was that when I was in high school. It honestly started because these teenage boys thought it was funny to tell me I was fat. And I was played basketball, played volleyball, ran track. I honestly probably weighed like 115 pounds.
And they still say that to you?
At 5'7", because they knew it bothered me. Like, these are just like,
Yeah, I see.
Boys being dumb, right? And I'm sorry, nothing against men, because girls are dumb too. But
hey, we're dumb. Okay, we're dumb. We're very dumb.
At the time, that it was just, they knew it bothered me. And so they would tell me like 100 times a day that I was fat. And they even at one point, I mean, it was bullying full on, because they even took a picture of me and wrote beached whale over it and like hung it all over the school. And so, you know, and this is like, I've never been that small in my life since then, right? Because I was really little at the time. But so I started starving myself. That was my answer, right? And then I struggled. I had a time after I got married that I did okay. And then, because I got help, obviously I got help and through college and everything. And but then I was in a lot of stress. I'd had a lot of stress in my life. I'd actually had a couple of miscarriages. My husband at the time was in law school. Like, there was a lot of these things going on, and that stress just kind of overwhelmed me, but I couldn't starve myself because there were, you know, people watching. And so I actually ended up more, honestly, like with a bulimia issue. And so that was in my 20s, and then into my 30s, I actually is when I got help. And I not only realized food was not my enemy, but I actually got some help with some mental health too, to help with my trauma and stuff that I had from that and the things that carried over. But it's something that's really common. A lot of people that I work with, even if they don't have a full-on eating disorder, have a really disordered way of eating or don't have a good relationship with food.
Yeah, terrible relationship with food. 100%.
Yeah.
So what did that process look like for you overcoming that? Like, what was, you know, maybe for someone out there who's listening who maybe is struggling with that, whatever, what was like the thing that helped you, or was it a process of things?
It was definitely a process of things, but the moment I had a moment when it started, and it was when I actually ran a marathon, and it was something that I'd wanted to do. I'd ran for a long time, and when I finished that marathon, I was like, I want to be healthy. Like, it was a great experience. It was such a, you know, thing that I did, that I trained for and overcame. I did not eat well enough to be training for. Now that I know what I know now, I'm like, how did I even do that? But after that, it's like, I want to be healthy. I want to have a body that is strong and can do things. And after I ran my marathon, I had an injury. And so I kind of took a little break from running, and I actually started CrossFit. I kind of found CrossFit, and it honestly changed my life, because I started seeing these women who were not skinny. They were lean, but they were strong. Yeah. And they looked amazing. And I was like, that's what I want. I want to be that. I want to be strong. I want to have that energy to do these things. And I had little kids at the time, and I'm like, I want to be able to keep up with my kids. And it was that process really of actually joining CrossFit that pushed me to find a nutrition coach that helped me. And then I eventually ended up with therapy and all of those things, because there's, like I said, the mental health issue. But from the food, from the nutrition aspect, that's really where it started.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I find that's a big thing for, that seems to be a common thing, maybe with men, but more so with women, is like they're a little bit intimidated to lift weights because they think they're going to get super bulky and all things. But then when they see someone who is, like, you went into the CrossFit gym, you saw some of the women who are like lifting weights and they're strong and they're in great shape. It's like a light bulb moment. And a lot of, they're like, oh, I can do this. Like, I can do all these things and look this way, and it's not going to turn me into this whatever. And so I don't know. I just find that's a very common thing for women, especially.
I would agree with that. And this is a little not off topic, but it's so important, though. Women and men, all of us, we need muscle. We need to lift weights. We need to be strong as we age. Now I'm 44, and so I've got we talk about all the aging issues, but as you age, you really need that muscle and that strength. And recently we lost my mother-in-law, and one of the things the doctor had said was that her body just didn't have enough to fight what was going on. And I mean, she never lifted any weights. She was tiny, you know, that generation. She was just, her legs were as big around as my forearm. And it really hit home to me that if she'd been stronger or had more muscle, like, her body could have held out longer for her to heal and to fight. And that, we need to do that. Like, so I know that's a big spectrum of topics. See, I told you I can get all over the place, and you say, you know, how they kind of go. Yeah, but that's why women need to lift weights. We need to be strong so that we have, our bodies have what they need to live and to survive and do it well.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I was actually listening to another podcast. I forget the lady that came on, and she was a huge advocate for building muscle. And what she said was, there was a study that came out that actually correlated, like, the loss of muscle was more strongly correlated to, like, chronic diseases and, like, actually, like, dying and aging.
Yeah.
So, like, having muscle and building muscle is strongly correlated, to your point, to living longer, healthier, and, like, feeling better.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And so I love being strong. Like, it's great. And I really want, you know, women, men too. Like, that's why we need to lift weights. That's why we need to be strong. And so, because we want to live longer. Yeah. And so I hope that there's a shift coming, because I have one of my coaches that works for me. She actually specializes in nutrition for perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopausal women. And so it's really cool to see there is a this generation, not our parents, but this generation is worried about that and is focused on that and is trying to be better and trying to be strong. And they're realizing that through menopause, to not gain the weight and stuff that they want, they need to lift weights. Like, that is something women need to do. They need to be lifting heavy at least twice a week. And so it's been really fun to see this shift. And women this age are like, no, we're not going to just like do nothing and sit out in the pack. We're going to try to live our best life at this point. And so that's been a really cool shift to see. So I think it's coming. I really do.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, I've got a few women clients that I work with, and I've actually given them very similar structures to my men of like, hey, we're going to front squat. We're going to back squat. You're going to do heavy Bulgarian split squats. Like, you're going to lift weight, and I want you to progressively overload that over time.
Yep.
And it's like, they love it. They always text me like, I'm so sore. But they love it, and they're feeling stronger. Actually, my client just texted me the other day. She said she bench pressed her son off of her after us like working for like a week together, and she's like, I already feel stronger.
I love it. That's awesome. So
cool. Yeah, it's a win.
Really, but to kind of bring it back, to gain muscle, like, you have to eat. Like, you have to eat food. Your body's not going to gain the muscle that it needs to gain if you're doing all this work and not fueling it and not giving it the food that it needs. So
1000%. So a client comes to you, or a person comes to you, and they say, hey, I'm struggling with nutrition. What's like the first thing you do with a client, and how do you decide what the best approach is for a client?
So when we first start working with someone, we do an hour video call with them, but we really gather as much information as we can, because we take a whole lifestyle approach, because I'm sure you know this, but there's so many other factors besides just food that affect how our body responds to food, right? Like, how much training are you doing? What does your day-to-day life look like? Are you sitting at a desk? Are you running around all day? Are you doing heavy lifting and work? Things like that. But then also we talk about, I want to know what their sleep is like. I want to know how much water they're drinking, what kind of caffeine they drink. I want to know what they're eating throughout the day. So I really just have them take me through a day of what they're eating and when, you know, a general day, when they throw in, when you're training, all of that. And then we take that and decide what is best for them and what their goals are too, because that always plays a factor. You know, if someone comes to us and they're a performance athlete, they're like, hey, I want to make the CrossFit Games. That's a different approach than someone who comes to me and is like, hey, I just want to lose some weight and feel good and be able to, you know, keep up with my kids or whatever it might be at the time. So that's where we start. Like, it's really about getting as much information as we can from them and then just taking what their goals are and what they do and deciding to go from there.
Right. Yeah. So discovery call, see what their goals are, figure out the best plan of attack, and then give your recommendations.
Yes. Generally, and this is where we might segue into like the metabolic flexibility stuff, but generally, we use macros, right? Like, it's really the best way to really dial in someone's personal nutrition, right? Because I could tell, we always talk calories versus macros, right? I tell someone to eat 1500 calories as an example, but you can get that all in carbs and fat, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And have no protein, because that's the biggest thing. People are usually under eating and they don't think they are, because they might be eating a lot of carbs and fat, but they're usually generally under protein quite a bit.
100%. It's crazy.
Exactly. And so when people are like, I'm not under eating, and then I start have them log their food and they're like, oh, I'm only eating 1200 calories. I'm like, exactly. And, or less sometimes. So that's been, it's really eye-opening for them. Generally, I'll have them track for a day or two, just what a normal, so they can see it. And then, people always say, well, I don't really like tracking my food. And I know that it can be tedious sometimes, but you can make it really easy. It takes me 5 minutes a day to log my food, right? But
once you have the formula and you've done it a few times, it's really not bad.
It's like with anything though, it's about what are you going to put into it? There are things you mentioned Bulgarian split squats. I hate Bulgarian split squats, but I do them. Yeah. I do them, but I hate them.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to do some of these things to get what you want. And it's proven, there are proven studies that people who track their food are less likely to be obese. And
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're just less likely to be obese, just by tracking your food, even if you're not trying to hit anything, because you're paying attention. Yeah. And as humans, we're really bad estimators. Like, Yeah. We're just really, we're really bad. We could say, oh yeah, sure, that's a cup of rice, and it might be two cups or three cups or half a cup, you know, that kind of thing. But so tracking their food and really paying attention is the biggest thing. But then making sure they're getting enough protein and enough carbs and enough fat in the right ratios is important too. And our bodies respond differently to those different macros because of how we've always eaten, our habits, what they're used to from the time we were really young, most likely. And so we can train our body to respond better, because some people respond a little better to higher carbs. Some people respond a little better to higher fat. Yeah. But we all need all three of them. You know, we need the protein, we need the fat, we need the carbohydrates. And when you start eliminating one or the other, that's when things kind of go crazy.
Yeah, especially I think a huge one, you tell me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. outside of protein is also the fat. So like that whole fat-free era is like, don't consume, like, and fat is so vital for hormones. Like,
absolutely.
That fat.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you see that often or not, but that's a thing where people are very, at least from my experience, mm-hmm. they seem to misunderstand that piece of consuming fat.
Absolutely. And there's just a definite difference between dietary fat and body fat too. But the other part of it is that if people are trying to eat clean, I use quotes there because I don't really believe in good food, bad food. I don't like that there's better quality food and less quality. It is that because it's food and our bodies respond better to less processed stuff, right? But I'm not going to shame someone if they want gummy bears, right? Like, yeah. I'm just not going to shame them for that, right? Or pizza. I don't live in a world where I'm never eating pizza again. That world doesn't exist for me, right? So where I was going with that is that fat, if they're trying to eat clean, a lot of times their fat is really, really low because you have to actively try to get it. And it's either that, it's low like that, or it's off the charts.
Yeah.
It's one or the other. There's rarely an in-between unless someone has paid attention to it before. It's either fat is really low or they're like, I can't believe how much fat I eat. And it's off the charts. Would you agree? And that's because of the processed foods and the junk foods and the fried foods and that kind of a diet.
Yeah. I mean, I've noticed for myself, like outside of good fats, like there are good fats that taste good. Yeah. But a lot of foods that taste really good are really high in carbs and fat. And so yeah. It's easy to just consume so much of that. So yeah. Easy.
And like I said, granted, there are foods that are better for your body, nutrition. I said that good food, bad food, but it's like in that sense where it's more about not having people have that attitude where, oh, I can't have that. That's bad for me. Or that's a bad food. Because obviously deep fried food is not going to be as good for you as grilled. It's just, we know that, right? So, but it's about having a balance too. And so figuring out what people need and how much they need of those macros, and then finding food that your body likes to eat, that's good food that your body responds well to, is important, and making sure in those right amounts. So that's kind of why we do macros. People can say, you know, I see things all the time, you know, you watch Instagram or whatever reels and they're like, you don't have to log your food. You just have to do this or this. And I'm like, yeah, if that works for you, great. But this is something that is sustainable long term.
Yeah, right, 100%. So, I want to kind of break this down too.
Yeah.
So I want to go through two scenarios. So let's say someone comes to you and they're like, hey, I want to compete in the CrossFit Games.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
Yep.
Let's get your nutrition plan laid out. What does that nutrition plan look like, generally speaking, for someone who wants to be like a competitive fitness athlete? Maybe not specifically CrossFit, but like you're going to need a lot of volume, a lot of training, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I work with one of my other coaches. She's a world-class Ironman, Iron Woman, but she's done world Ironman for world. So there are people that aren't just CrossFit athletes that want to compete at that high level. It's a lot of food. That's what it looks like. I joke with them sometimes. I'm like, okay, eating might be like is going to be almost like a full-time job, because the amount of food that they need is a lot more generally than they think it is. Or sometimes if they've already been working towards it, I have a few athletes that were already high level that have come to me. They might have already been eating the right amount, but there's a few things that we do that are different. And one of them, and this is kind of what it looks like, is I say this for a for a performance athlete, but I also use it for my 52-year-old woman menopause, right, is carb cycling. And carb cycling, what that, there are a couple things. How I explain it to clients a lot of times is that, one, it helps your body improve what's called metabolic flexibility. It's your body's ability to burn carbs for activity and fat at rest, and being able to switch back and forth between using those fuel sources efficiently. When you can use those fuel sources efficiently, you're going to perform better. Your body's going to look better because you're going to have good, you know, your body composition will be good. Those are the people that seem to eat whatever they want and they never, their bodies never change. I mean, they're just good, metabolically flexible. I have a client right now that he burns through, he's been doing this so long, he burns through carbs so fast. Like, he was training for a marathon. He kind of stepped out and wanted to do something different. And he's like, I don't feel like I can get enough carbs because I just, they're gone. And that happens. And so we have to add fat to his intra-workout fuel, right? When he's running, he has to have something with fat in it, where a lot of people don't. But it's because it has to slow down the digestion of those carbs because his body is burning through them so fast, right? And that was really cool to get him to that point, because he wasn't always like that. So that's kind of the point of carb cycling. And how there are different ways to do it. Even just a workout rest day kind of macro thing is a form of carb cycling. We work sometimes with female athletes, and we carb cycle to their female cycle, right? To their menstrual cycle. And you can do it so it changes, like, with the phases of their cycles, a way to carb cycle. The way that I do it, it's different. There are different days throughout the week.
Okay.
We have high, medium, low days throughout the week. Yep. And that variance also helps. Like, I tell people, the higher days feed your performance. They feed your workouts. They help you feel good. They help with recovery. And then we throw in a couple of low days, and that forces your body to burn stored fat for energy, because it's like, well, where's my food? It got used to eating this higher amount of food, and it forces their body to burn stored fat to have that same level of energy. And that's, like I said, that's kind of a layman way to explain it, but it really works in just keeping your body in a constant state of change, right? And that's really what I do with it works really well for athletes for that reason, right? We're not, even in a cut or trying to improve body composition, we're not taking anything away from their fuel that they need for the training that they're doing for these 3-4 hours a day. But we're making sure that their bodies are becoming more efficient at burning fuel and staying lean so that they can perform their best by having that. And so it works really, really well for athletes.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's also very popular in the bodybuilding world, if I'm not mistaken, right? Because I remember my parents were both bodybuilders, actually. And I remember my mom telling me how they would carb cycle and do the whole thing. So I don't know, like, do you work with any bodybuilders in that context?
It's different. I've actually worked with a couple of people. I consulted it out because I can't get someone on stage. I will fully admit that if you want to do a bodybuilding competition and you want me to get you on stage, I'm not that person. I can get you to a point.
Yeah.
And I had a couple clients that's something they wanted to do. And so I got them to a point, and then I had someone that I referred to that kind of brought me in, and I just got to kind of watch. I got to kind of watch the process. It's a little more extreme. Those carb cycling and bodybuilding is a little bit more extreme as far as, especially for people who are trying to get, like, stage ready, like performance bodybuilders. But it, like I said, it's very common. There's other ways that people will do it, and I've seen it, like, a week on, a week off. That's, I think, a little bit more in the bodybuilding world. I've seen it for, like, chunks of time, if that makes sense, like maybe a month at a time and then a couple weeks of lower and then a month of higher and a couple weeks of a lower carb. More, less daily carb cycling and more, like, week to week. Does that make sense? Like I said, there are different ways to do carb cycling. Yeah. This is the way that I found is the most effective.
Yeah. So you follow more of the daily approach where, hey, high day, medium day, low day, back to high, or whatever it is.
Yeah. And usually it depends kind of on what their goals are, how many low days, but it's 2 or 3 low days depending on that. And when I say low, this is what I always like to tell people. We're not talking like keto low or crazy low, like, because that's not sustainable. Like, I want to, if you're hungry and starving and miserable and you hate life, that's not worth it either, right? You're going to, you're going to binge on something because you're so hungry. You're just going to eat. I want all of this stuff. So you still have to give your body carbohydrates, but we usually do lower carb, higher fat on those days. The fat helps with satiation, helps you feel more full. It slows down the digestion of the carbohydrates, so they stay in your system a little bit longer. And then, of course, for like athletes, those higher fat days are really good for recovery because your body needs, you know, we talked about that, your body needs fat for hormones, your body needs fat for recovery, your body needs fat for a lot of things. And so that higher fat days really help with recovery. So a lot of times they're not on training days. They're on those rest days.
Yeah. So someone like myself, mm-hmm. who wants to compete in the sport of CrossFit,
yeah.
like what would be the higher end of carbohydrates you would tell me to eat? And this might be like, you might not be able to answer.
I can tell you some of my highest, and I can talk about him because he won't care. I know. So one of my athletes is Griffin Rolley.
Yeah,
he performed at high level. And if you know Griffin and you've seen him, the man is a beast. He is so strong. He's
crazy.
I'm just blown away by the things he can do, but, he's had upwards of 550 carbs.
Yeah.
Easily. Yeah. 600. We might've hit 600 once, like during the game season, we might have been close to that. Now, so his low days, this is what I want to tell you. Like, so the difference in that, if he has a 500 carb high day, right? Like his low days are still going to be well over 300.
Oh, wow. So you're not going.
I'm not, like I said, it's a variance, but I'm not taking his carbs down super low. It's just quite a bit lower than his high day. Cause it's all perspective, right? Like my low day is like 100 carbs, yeah. maybe more than that, 130. But you know what I mean? Like, it's the difference in that. It hurts my heart to put somebody under 100 carbs. It's happened because, you know, you get sometimes I have women that weigh 130 pounds. I mean, their basal metabolic rate is 1,100 calories, which for those that may not know, since we're talking, a basal metabolic rate is the amount of calories you burn lying in bed in a coma, right? Like, that's how many. And that's when I tell people that and I figure that out for them, and that's always eye-opening because I'm like, your basal metabolic rate's 1,500, but you're eating 1,200. So
yeah,
that's the thing. But when you have someone that small, they, and depending on what their goal is, like they don't need a ton of carbs. And so it's, you have to kind of, I mean, it's lower, and it just hurts my heart though, to put somebody under 100.
Yeah, it's hard. That's hard to do.
Generally their fat and protein are higher. It usually works out. They don't usually hate me too much for too long. It does now, help them.
Would you get, so if someone comes to you that they just want to be healthy,
mm-hmm.
and they maybe want to lose some weight or whatever, mm-hmm. would you give them like the same parameters, like still that carb cycling, but just the macros would be less, or what does that look like?
Absolutely. So usually, I mean, I kind of take it client by client, right? Because there are a couple things, reasons that I don't carb cycle. And one of them is if someone is just really struggling with tracking in general and like hitting macros, we won't carb cycle at first. Because you want to be really, I don't want to overwhelm someone. So you really want to be good at just tracking regularly before we would start carb cycling. But carb cycling is very effective for most people. I use it with teenagers. I use it with, like I said, I had my oldest client that I've worked with, she was 72. And she carb cycled.
Wow.
And because it can work for everybody. It's been really effective for perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopausal women. It has been one of the most effective things that we have found that it really helps, along with, you know, a good training program. But there are a couple times when I wouldn't carb cycle. And sometimes it's when we're trying to figure out what's going on with someone's body. Like, it's just not responding the way we want. We'll take them to like a single set of numbers so we can just see what their body's responding to, or what's going on. But the other time is when your body's under stress. So that's one thing that we also talk about. I talk to my clients about the stress in their life and what's going on, because exercise, deficit in food, all of that is still stress on your body. It's good stress. I mean, we need stress to change. But if you're, the example that I always use, I had a client that everything was going well. She was doing everything. Her weight was doing what it wanted to. She was seeing all this progress. And then all of a sudden her grandma died. Someone quit at work. She was taking over another thing. Her mom, this was during COVID. Her mom got COVID and she was scared and everything stopped. Like all of a sudden we didn't change anything. We didn't change anything about her food or about what she was doing. Her training didn't change. And all of a sudden her weight started going up. She wasn't sleeping. And that was where being in a deficit, being in, you know, having that constant variance through, it's a stress on your body going from high carb to low carb. It's a good stress, but I just have felt that it was too much at the time. Right. And you just, and so those are times too, when I'll pull someone off carb cycling. I'll be like, all right, let's back off. Let's simplify.
Yeah.
Or if they've got a lot going on and it's overwhelming, because we need our clients need to be successful. And if they're feeling like they're failing because they're not able to do it because of whatever's going on in their life, then we're done, right? Like that's that not done, but that we pull off the carb cycling because that there's a mental health aspect to everything that we do too, right? And you don't want to cause someone to be overwhelmed and more stressed just because carb cycling is something they have to plan for, or it's a little much. We need to simplify sometimes.
Yeah. So what's been the most effective? So this is where my brain went on this. Like, you know, for me, it's really easy for me to understand how to eat and do all the things. And so it's like, I know how to change this or that. And it's very much my lifestyle, like going through things. So I guess my question was, how do you help someone make it their lifestyle so it's not as overwhelming and they can really sustain this and understand, okay, hey, I'm stressed right now. This is how I need to eat, but not overeat. Like, how do you, you know, so where it's not so overwhelming and there's like a billion things going on in their head and they're just like, F it, I'm going to McDonald's.
Yeah.
Like, well, what have you found super effective with that, if anything?
Honestly, consistency. And just I know that sounds like it's, I don't know. Well, duh, that's a simple answer. But when we work with clients, I have daily contact with my clients. So we have an app that we talk, that we message. I'm messaging my clients every day. So I really feel like I know what's going on, right, in their life. And so I'm there to be like, okay, well, here, try this today. Well, okay, you were really overwhelmed. This happened. And like to walk them through those things until they get to a point where they can do it. Because once you've done it long enough, I mean, I have two clients, husband and wife, that actually just recently stopped coaching with me because we had got their whole goal when they started was they wanted to get to a point where it was just a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It was just a lifestyle. And we got to this point and they actually threw a baby in there and had a baby during the time that I worked with them. And we took it through that. So that was fun. But they just got to the point where they're like, we just know what to do. They had different stressors. They were able to work through them and it was just life. It was just the way that they did it. And it's just about consistency and going, honestly, it's about time, finding your way through those, having someone coach you through those stressful times. And I always tell people that if you need me for the rest of my life, I'm probably not doing my job. Right. Sometimes I tell people that 3 months is kind of the minimum amount of time I feel like they need to see the full results of what we do. But the longer you do it and the more you have someone to coach you through some of these things is then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I can do this because we've already been through this stress. And I was able to figure out we went on vacation and I was able to know what I needed to do and not be stressed when I got home and not worry about gaining 10 pounds. And like all of these things, when you have a coach that is really invested and involved and really helping you learn how to do this for the rest of your life, then you work through those things. And so there's really not a like blanket answer, but it's about time. It's about doing it consistently and learning what your body needs and how your body responds to different things. And then, you know,
yeah. And I think too, that's why to me, it might seem so elementary, maybe to you too. So elementary, it's like, I've just been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
Like I know what to do when I go into the gym to get X goal out of what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And it's effortless thought.
And I tell people that I don't track every day. I used to, or if I have a goal, I will be on it and I will be tracked, but I'll track like for a week out of the month, or I'll track for Monday through Friday. And then myself the weekend, because I can eat a day and go back at the end of the day and log my food. And I'm pretty close because I've been doing it so long. And that's where, if you can get to that. Now, if I get off track, or I feel like something's not going the way I do, then I will be on it. Or if I, like I said, if I have a goal. But if you do it, you got to do it consistently and long enough that you get to that point, just like anything. Yeah. When you go to the gym all the time and it becomes a habit and consistent, then you always know what you need to do. You always know what you want to do. Just like I said, anything. It's about being consistent.
Now, how long were you working with that couple that just stopped working with you? How long was that?
So I actually, it was funny because I actually worked with them years ago. I worked with him years ago during COVID. And then I worked with her for a short time. And then they came back to me a year ago, a little more than a year ago. And it was before she was pregnant, and she's 5 months postpartum. So I think we were 2 months in. So yeah, however, we do the math there, however long that is.
Yeah. So cumulatively, at least a few years.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that this time was completely different. I think I could take any two people, like, or anybody in probably about a year, mm-hmm. a year, maybe a little longer, and be consistent. I don't always have people that long, and that's okay. I try to give them as much value as I can. But I also have people that have been with me for 4.5 years, and those people just feel like they need someone, or they're elite high level athletes and they are constantly changing things, and we have to work them through all these seasons and competition and all of that. So
yeah, I can imagine that it's probably really nice to like have you in their back pocket of like, hey, this is what's going on. Like, how do I need to eat? Even if you know sometimes what to do, sometimes just having that person like confirm it is really, really nice.
Well, that's honestly, here's what I always say too, is coaches need coaches. Cause a lot of the athletes that I work, especially the higher level, they coach too. Right. Mm-hmm. And, but we are very biased when it comes to ourselves. Even myself, like I know what to do, but if I have a goal and I need to change something, I go to one of my other coaches and I'm like, will you tell me where I need to be? Because I am biased when it comes to myself. I really am. Right. And, I think it's good to have somebody who's not in your own head. Right. Cause I joke with people all the time that I taught yoga for 15 years. I know how to recover. I am a nutrition coach. I was a CrossFit coach. I was a strength and conditioning coach. I was an Olympic lifting coach. I coached volleyball. I mean, I done all these things, and I know how to do it. And sometimes I just need somebody else to tell me.
Yeah. So I have a coach right now. So Kyle.
Yeah.
So he's coaching me right now. And at first I was a little bit hesitant to do it, not because I didn't think I needed it, but because I was afraid that when I told a client who I'm trying to coach that I have a coach, I was afraid they'd be like, well, why would I listen to you? I'm going to go listen to that guy. But what I realized is like, it was more of like, it was actually a better selling point of being like, we all need that accountability. Absolutely. We need someone who can look at us objectively and write things for us that we wouldn't write for ourselves.
Yeah.
Kyle actually wrote a workout for me yesterday that about broke me.
I'm sorry. I've seen Kyle's programming. I actually am Kyle's nutrition coach. So there's that.
Yeah. And I remember I got done and I was like, I just wouldn't have wrote that for myself.
No.
I might have come close, but I would have, this perceived limit I have on myself would mm-hmm. have been consciously into the workout I wrote. Absolutely. And I wouldn't have actually pushed.
Absolutely.
It was very helpful. So to your point, we all need coaches.
Yeah. And when you talk about nutrition, and this is, I feel like we could probably have two or three of these or talk for 2 or 3 hours. I know that because there's all these tangents, but when it comes to performance and when it comes to competitions, not just CrossFit competitions, but marathons, Ironmans, I mean, I've worked with, you know, soccer players and football players, a volleyball player, basketball, you know, different sports. When you have a competition, one of the things that I do and is I will tell people I give them a nutrition plan for that comp, which is different than every day because you eat differently at a competition. So for like a CrossFit competition, I'm telling them what to eat for breakfast and at what time. And then when their first event, like I'm telling, so if you know their first event's at 9:15, I'm like, all right, you're gonna eat breakfast at 6, 7, 7:30. You're gonna eat this at 8:45. After you're gonna eat this, you're gonna eat this. And like I write them out a comp plan for what they're doing each for that competition. And from local competitions to, like I said, I've got two guys training for their first marathon right now, and figuring out their marathon nutrition has been really fun for them. I mean, I've been able to figure it out. Like I said, I have a coach who she specializes in that. And so it's been really fun for them to be like, oh, wow, I feel so much better when I'm running and I can run 20 miles and feel recovered and getting full, you know, fueled. And, but then also people who do like CrossFit competitions or even sporting things where they're not eating in much before or not eating enough, or they're not eating at halftime, or they're not, you know, they're not doing these things that they need to fuel around their thing they want to perform the best at. And, people said, oh, I never eat when I do a CrossFit competition. I have such a hard time. I'm like, okay, we got to fix that first.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually that was just thinking that in my head. And sometimes I find for myself personally, and maybe some of your athletes that you work with, like sometimes when you do like hard workouts and training, like the last thing you want to do is eat after it.
Oh yeah.
You think you just don't want to consume food.
Right.
And so you, kind of tell, you tell yourself the story. You're like, well, then I must not need it. I must be fine. I'll figure it out in the next event. I don't know if you see that a lot.
Oh yeah. Well, that's the other part. Like I said, we kind of, all these things I think we could talk about, but there, another part to metabolic flexibility is how you fuel around your training. It's really important. You need, I'll ask you, what does everybody do right after they're done with their training? What is the first thing people think to get? A protein shake.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but most people think protein. I'm glad you said carbs. That makes my heart happy. But most people are thinking protein. I'm going to get my protein shake, right? Well, that comes from the bodybuilding world years ago, right? And there's, you know, but the truth is your body needs carbohydrates. It needs to replenish the glycogen stores in your muscles. And if it doesn't get those carbs right away, then it's going to spend the rest of the day only burning the carbs that you eat. And it will never switch to burning stored fat for energy because it hasn't replenished those glycogen stores, because fat and protein slow down the digestion of carbohydrates and your body doesn't get them fast enough.
Yeah.
Does that make, so that is one of those pieces. That is the thing that I tell people. If you want to change something right now of how you feel after you train, how working out, the first thing I tell you, I have, it's called my 30-30-30 rule. You want to get 30 grams of carbohydrates 30 minutes before you train and 30 grams immediately after. Now that, and when I say immediately, I mean, you're done dying. You catch your breath, you're changing your shoes, walking out the door, you're eating right then.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you wait about 30 minutes before you have your protein or your, because you need that. You need your protein, you need your fat, you know, before you have a meal. But things, and you want carbs that are going to digest quickly. So applesauce is like my number one go-to. I'm not to go squeeze applesauce. Yeah. Honey is good. Yeah. They have these little honey packs that are great. Little cutie oranges. This is where you see people eating gummy bears or that kind of thing because they're getting those carbohydrates in. I'm had to stop the gummy bears. I'm not going to lie. They became a problem. So I don't do gummy bears anymore. But the, you know, it's just getting, I've had people do rice cakes, dried fruit, even liquid carbs, Gatorade. A 20 ounce Gatorade is 30 grams of carbohydrates. And if you can't, if you don't feel like you can eat something, that's why I use applesauce because you really just swallow it. It's easy, but something like Gatorade is a good option.
Yeah. Well, actually, this is a great segue because into my next questions that I had for you, because I think that a lot of people will hear this, and this is something I try to tell people that I work with. It's like, don't eat how I eat, because I'm training to be competitive, which sometimes I'm going to consume some things that aren't quote unquote healthy, right? Like a Gatorade, like you tell people who drink Gatorade, it's like, it's loaded with added sugar and there's like dyes in it, unless you get the organic ones that don't have the dyes in it.
Right.
But like, you wouldn't want to tell someone who just wants to be healthy, hey, go chug a Gatorade after the workout. But that's where I think it's so important to talk about context, and it's very nuanced. And so I don't know where you stand on that and how you explain that to people.
Well, this comes across, we haven't talked about this, but one of my things that I have just kind of fallen into, it's a little niche. I work with people from all walks, right? But I've fallen in with working with teenagers. I kind of just happened to find this niche because teen athletes don't, there's nothing out there for them. And I am answering your questions.
I wanted to hit on that too. Anyways.
Yeah. There's just nothing out there for teenagers. A lot of nutritionists don't want to work with them because you have to work with the parents too. And I mean, it's fine. Parents are great. But there's also, they're not sure. They don't want to be the one that messes up someone's kid. I mean, And so I do a lot with teenagers, and I talk to parents, and I do presentations to different athletic like teams, like lacrosse team, a swim team, a volleyball club. And the thing that I tell parents is, I'm like, all right, don't hate me when I say this, but your kid needs something like Gatorade or Powerade or Body Armor, and not the sugar-free ones. If you have an issue with the dye or something in it, then we can find a different option. But if your kid, it's okay for your kid to have Gatorade, because I think there was a time when it came out. I remember that everyone was like, no sports drinks, no sports drinks. They're so bad for you. They're so bad for you. They're so bad for you. I'm like, well, there's a reason that they were developed. It's a reason that it came. It's a reason they give it on every marathon course in the world. And so I kind of take it from that perspective, that it depends on, again, what you're doing. And if they're drinking Gatorade all day and they're not, they probably need something, or obviously, you know, they don't need to be doing that, but having it around their training, having it around their workout, their practice, that kind of thing is okay. And for some people, it's about what works, right? Like if someone literally has a hard time with food, but they're like, well, I can sip on a Gatorade, or I can sip on even someone who maybe isn't super athletic or super competitive, right? And they just want to be healthy. But if we can't get anything else in their body after their workout, because they're like, I just can't, then I'm like, well, let's try this. Does that kind of answer your question?
Oh, absolutely. It does. Yeah. And again, I think that's where it's super important to have like a coach in your corner where you can just be like, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I'm thinking about doing, or this is what I'm struggling with. And then it's like, it's almost like you give them permission. It's like, they might know it in their head, but they have all these things they've seen on Instagram or whatever. And they're like, I shouldn't, whatever. But you give them the permission slip. Be like, yes, go drink a little bit of Gatorade.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Obviously, and this is what I use this. And sometimes I tell parents, this is the thing I usually tell parents. I'm like, you're going to cringe when I say this, but when it comes to energy, gummy bears or Gatorade, we'll use Gatorade, and a sweet potato are the same. Your body breaks every carbohydrate down to glucose, and glucose is turned to glycogen, and glycogen is stored as energies. Now, sweet potato has more vitamins, minerals, fiber. It's not processed. Do you know what I mean? And Gatorade won't have that, and there's dye in it, and you know, those kind of things. But when it comes to energy, your body's going to treat them the same. Yeah. And that, because of that, like there's times where it's okay. It's okay for if parents are listening, it's okay to let your kids have that. It's okay to let your kids have maybe the Gatorade or the gummy bears. Like obviously that's a main staple. It's a problem. Like I said, it became a problem. I was eating gummy bears way too much. So I had to stop the gummy bears. But that's fine.
Lunch with a basket of gummy bears.
You can buy a 5-pound bag on Amazon. I'm just saying.
That's hilarious.
That was the worst thing I ever found. I had to quit after that. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, Amazon makes it easy too. It's like there the next
day. I tried to keep them at the gym, and then anyway, it was the whole thing. But I digress. But really, it's about knowing that if we can put good food in our body most of the time, like we're finding so much with really flipping age groups here, like with menopause, perimenopause, that people are not responding well to processed food. And if you can, the more processed food that you can cut out, the better your body is going to respond. And you'll see some of the symptoms of menopause and some of that weight gain and that cortisol really goes down, because it's about how it affects your digestion. And and your hormones are less, so your digestion isn't working as well. And then your body's under stress because your digestion isn't working well. And, you know, there's a lot of things, but it's – so obviously you need good, high-quality food most of the time.
Yeah.
But if you go on vacation or you want to go out to eat, or for teenagers, if they want to have ice cream with their friends or their best friend buys them Nerds gummy clusters for their birthday, you know, I mean – it's okay to eat them. Like, yeah. And that's what I really try to get across to people, is that yes, you need to eat good, high quality food most of the time. But when you need a lot of food, it's hard. That's the other thing. And I said, I feel like there's so many ways I could go with this, but
yeah,
it's hard to eat 500 carbs as an athlete and keep that clean.
Yeah.
You can't sweet potato your way and to that, right?
No shot.
So I have to tell a funny story, and I know we're time. I will have to, just tell me when to stop. But I have a client. Well, I have a family that I've worked with, and the teenager was a games athlete, and we were at an event, and we had dinner with a bunch of people, and they were sitting at dinner, and the dad of this kid was like, "Meredith, I need you to weigh in on this." He says he doesn't need to eat vegetables because they take up too much room, and I need you to weigh in on that. And I was like, okay, so I never try to disagree with parents ever, but this is a kid who's a CrossFit Games athlete, right? Yeah. Like, and he has a lot of food he needs to eat. I said, I never try to disagree with parents. I said, however, vegetables do not give him the amount of carbohydrates he needs. It's so minimal that he'll fill up on vegetables and he won't be able to get the other carbohydrates that he needs. So he's not wrong. I said, so I would get him a good green supplement, a good green supplement and then be done. But I looked at him, I'm like, but so help me, if your mother makes you vegetables, you eat them. Like, if she's making you vegetables, you better eat them. But it's hard for people to understand that. Like for me, I'm not a competitive games athlete or anything. And so I don't train for 3-4 hours a day. And so I eat vegetables because they're good for you and I need them and the fiber, but not that you don't eat vegetables if you're high level. I'm just saying a lot of vegetables is not going to get you the amount of carbs that you need to hit those numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. And that again is where it's so context dependent. It really is based on your goals and what you're trying to achieve in the whole thing.
Yeah. It really is. And that's why individually I tell people, like, everybody's an individual and how I approach things, we have different systems, but everybody's so individual and different that it changes depending on what your goals are and what you need.
Yeah. And by the way, if we go over the hour limit, that's not a huge deal at all. Seriously.
Okay.
I just try to be respectful of other people's time. So yeah. I don't know where you
on that. Absolutely. I'm good for a little bit. Yeah.
So I did have a question though. Where do you fall with like the whole micronutrient thing? Like, how important is that?
Micronutrients are very important. I mean, they really are. But I don't want a hot button topic. Is that how you say it? But in our food, in the American diet, in the American food, like with processed food and stuff, it's hard a lot of times to get the micronutrients that we need. I don't actually find this as much of a problem with my clients overseas because they just don't have, I've got a lot of clients in Iceland. I've got clients, you know, in Qatar. I've got clients in, I've got one in Italy and one in the Netherlands and one in Sweden. And like, they just don't have as many issues with that because their food isn't as processed as ours is. It just isn't. Yeah. And so in the U.S., I feel like it's harder for us to get the nutrients that we need. And so I don't recommend a ton of supplements most of the time. Like, I feel like we should be able to get most of what we need from food.
Right.
But I feel like, you know, a good, like, right, a green supplement, something that's getting you those micronutrients. Some people have a good, like, vitamin or that they'll use. I don't have a specific brand or anything that I recommend, but I think that those are beneficial and can help. I think you can get those micronutrients, but I think it's hard. And when I talk to people about food, like, it's always in stages, right? Like, first we focus on making sure they're getting enough in the macronutrients, and then we make sure that the food timing is right for what their goals are, and then we really focus on that food quality, because usually that's the thing that takes the longest to clean up. Does that make sense? Like, to really kind of help people realize what foods are good for their body and what their bodies respond to. Because sometimes you realize you're like, well, I'm always bloated when I eat this, but I'm like, well, you've eaten this the last 3 days. And so having someone that's pointing that out, so that food quality kind of takes longer, if that makes sense, to figure out what makes you feel good or what doesn't. And that's when we kind of assess, all right, are you really getting all the vitamins and minerals that you need? Because we're probably not, to be honest.
Do you have your clients do any sort of blood testing, or like food intolerance testing or anything like that?
If I always ask them if they have, right? Because, and if they had, it's been a long time since they've had any kind of, like, just even a general panel, right? Like a blood work done. I always encourage them to get a physical and have that done. A lot of times we'll be going along and something will not be right. And I'll know. I'm like, your body just is not responding the way that it should. And I have a background. I actually have an autoimmune disease. I have Hashimoto's. So I've been a thyroid disorder, autoimmune disease. And so there had been times when I'm just like, with a client, I'm like, that's not right. Like something's not working. I'm like, can you just go get some blood work done?
Yeah.
And I have one client that she fought me on it for a long time. And then she finally went and got blood work done. And she's like, okay, you were right. I should have done this a long time ago because we found the problem. Yeah. That isn't always it, but it's the same thing when it comes to like food allergies. I had, you know, when people are just not sure, they're like, something's bothering me and I don't know what it is. I'll have them do, sometimes you can get like their Everly Well has like a sensitive food sensitivity test. It's like $100-$150, something like that you send in. And it's decent. It's not perfect. And I don't think but it's cheaper for people than going to like an allergist. But one thing I found, and I'll just throw this out there, and this is more of a recent thing that what I found. And I don't know how you are, but I'm always trying to learn. I'm always trying to increase my knowledge and learn the newest things that are out there. And then when I find something that is really big, I'm like, I wish I'd known this for years. And I wish I could go back and tell everybody that I ever worked with this one thing. And I found that thing recently. And it's actually that we all should be taking a probiotic. I don't know why. I just never did. And I never really paid attention to it until I had a client who, she's celiac, we knew that. So she doesn't eat gluten. Dairy was bothering her. We were beating our head against the wall. She kept starting to like cut food out. Like, okay, well, what is it that's bothering me? And then one day she's like, Meredith, I can't even eat like lettuce without it. And I'm like, okay, something's not right. That's like not a thing that shouldn't bother you. And so anyway, long story short, we ended up getting her on a probiotic and all of a sudden everything changed. Her weight started dropping. She can eat again. It's not causing digestive distress. And then now we're finding too with, especially for that age group, that perimenopause, menopause, postmenopausal women, but also men too, that as we age, our hormones decrease, which causes our digestion to not work as well. And then that sends a signal to your brain because this vagus nerve that we have, this brain-gut connection, that I don't know, people are going to be like, what are you talking about? But well, that's another topic for another day.
It's vitally
important, but that your gut tells your brain you're under stress. So your brain raises your cortisol. And then when your cortisol is high, that also affects your digestion. Yeah. And then you get this vicious cycle. And that's when like really people, women that menopause belly they talk about, it's from cortisol. It's from stress. And it's from, like I said, it can be from really from a digestion standpoint. So something as simple as a probiotic can be a game changer, game changer. I'm like telling everybody now, everybody needs to be on a probiotic. Like,
I 100% agree with that. 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
Can I, what probiotic did you put on? Are you allowed to say that?
I mean, I have one that I liked, but it honestly ended up being really expensive. And so I found one on Amazon and it's a Physician's Choice, I believe. There's Garden of Life, I believe is the one it is. But it's just one I found that I like. That's got a good, it's got a prebiotic and a probiotic in it. There's one that for women has some stuff for female health, urinary tract, that kind of thing. And then they have one for men too. But I think that making sure that it just has, and it was just a lot less expensive too on Amazon versus the one that I had found, which I liked, but it was really expensive. So,
sure.
I think the most important thing is just making sure that it has really over 4 billion of the CFUs. And then I like one with a prebiotic too, because that really helps as well. And so those are kind of what I tell people to look for and kind of to do your research. But I don't have one that I and back behind or that I like sponsor or anything like that. So
sure. Do you give people recommendations to like eat kimchi, sauerkraut, mm-hmm. drink kombucha, things
yeah,
like that?
Yeah. Apple cider vinegar is the easiest.
There is amazing.
With water, dilute it with water.
Yes.
One teaspoon of apple
cider vinegar. You are in for a ride.
Oh, there was a diet back in the day that was like apple cider vinegar, and you ate like, it was tablespoons. It was like 2 tablespoons 3 times a day or something. I'm telling you, it was stupid. I tried it because I'm telling you, I tried all those fad diets. But that was way too much. But just a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar diluted with water 2-3 times a day can make a huge difference if you're having bloating issues, if you're having, if you feel like your stomach gets gross when you eat, like getting that in. So that's why I like the probiotic that has the prebiotic in it, because that's what those are. Those are prebiotics. They're fermented. They're giving you, but yeah, sauerkraut, kombucha, apple cider vinegar. What was the other one?
Kimchi.
I always say that wrong. Kefir. Kefir's like a yogurt drink. Yeah. You know, things like that are good if you just want something like that. Is a good idea.
No, that's awesome. I'm glad you said that. I wanted to hit on this. This is selfishly what I was interested in is you put nutrient timing ahead of quality of food, and I'm interested why you did that, because I was under the impression, for myself at least, I want to get all these things figured out first and then I'll worry about timing, but you did it a little bit backwards there, so I'm interested as to why you chose that.
Because the reason I do that is because it's usually easier to change.
Okay.
If that makes sense. It's something, and because, and usually when people come to me, they're wanting to feel better in their workouts. They're wanting to feel better. Sleep is another big thing. Timing of food affects your sleep. Mm-hmm. Because if protein and fat cause the core body temperature to raise, and your core body temperature has to cool down to sleep, right? So if you eat fat and protein too close to bed, then you're going to, it could affect your sleep. And a lot of times, so it, those are the things that if we can fix those first, those are easy. Like that's usually the first thing people will tell me is, oh my gosh, my sleep is so much better. And when you can fix sleep, then everything gets better. And so that's why I do time, because then it helps their workouts feel better immediately. Like just right away. Like, and when I say timing, it's like around workouts, around training, before bed, things like that, making sure you don't have that crash in the afternoon. You start to feel better so quickly.
Yeah.
That it's easier. Okay, well now let's see. What if we were eating a little bit better quality of food? What if we were eating? And that's why I do timing first, because it's something you can see the results of faster.
No, I like that, because it's a very low hanging fruit to grab, a very lever to pull that you can see some pretty immediate success from. So that makes a ton of sense. I like that a lot. That's really great.
And so that's why. And again, it's, don't get me wrong, food quality is really, really important. Sure. And it's funny, when I work with people overseas, I just don't have that issue most of the time. But here in the US, like we just timing, because we can change it so fast.
Yeah.
But food quality is important. I mean, don't get me wrong. So.
Yeah. No, this has been really, really awesome. I do feel like we could keep chatting about so many things, which is awesome. I love that you took the time out of your day to sit down and have a conversation about this. I think people are going to get a lot of value out of it. Just better understanding, maybe even just giving them permission to like, hey, it's okay. Like,
I mean, even, and that's something that we really find. And we were going to talk a little bit more, I think, about this, but we had so many other things, but it's your relationship with food is really important. And knowing that, not beating yourself up or feeling guilty about eating things is freeing. Like there are so many people that come to me that have that issue, that it's anxiety and like overwhelming for them. And they'll feel so guilty about if they ate bad. And then when they can get past that, it's just freeing for them. And, it's just really, that's an important part of what we do, is helping people improve their relationship with food as they go.
100%. I know, and I used to feel this way with working out. Mm-hmm. Like if I missed a workout, I used to feel like, oh no, it's the end of the world. All of my
goals are going to go down the
gone. It's over. And it really isn't, because when you take a whole year, 365 days, if 350 of them were awesome days of training, but you had the 15 days that were off days, recovery, or you missed a session, it's like the vast majority was progress and you trained. It's the exact same thing with nutrition. If the vast majority is you eating quality food and and getting your sleep and doing all the things, like having a day where it's like, I want an extra piece of pizza. Like, it's okay.
Or going on vacation. I tell people all the time, we heard, we've always heard, all of us have heard 80-20, right? Or 90-10. It depends, you know, it's, it depends on really what your goals are, but it's okay for that little bit sometimes to not be, to not be perfect. And none of us are perfect. And there are going to be days we are, nothing is in our control. It happens, right? Life happens. And if you're obsessing about the fact that you weren't able to get your food in, or you had to find some sort of fast food because you've been in a hospital all day, or you know what I mean? Like things like that, like life happens. And you should be able to go on vacation and not stress about the food that you're going to eat, because you're not going to enjoy vacation if all you're doing is worried about food.
And so I find that that's where, like, if you've set it up to be your lifestyle to be like a healthy human being, like I know when I go on vacation, if I want to splurge the whole week, I know it's okay, because when I come back, I'm going to train. I'm going to dial in nutrition. Like, I just know it because I've done it for so long, and because it's become a lifestyle. And so when you have that, is like, I know this week is intentionally going to be bad.
Yeah.
Because I have tools in my tool belt. I have a system set up. I practice this daily. Like, I can get back to the grind quickly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's when, like, people are like, I don't get on the scale when I do that, right? Because it's going to be up. And I tell people that you, water retention from flight, all of those things, and you didn't work out as much and all that, but it goes away really quickly. And people come back from vacation, the first thing they want to do is starve themselves, because they're like, oh, I need to eat less because I did all these things. I'm like, if you'll just get back to what you were doing, you know, they're like, oh, should I have like all low days for this week? Because I was like, no, get back to what you're doing and it will come back. I took a picture one time every day for like 10 days after vacation, like just a side picture in the mirror. And then you put them together in this little like video, and it looked like, I mean, it was like a shrinking woman. I was bloated, water retention, all those things. Right. And it looked like I lost 10 pounds in a week. Well, or 10 days I did, but it was water weight. It was, you know what I mean? Like it was, but all I did was get back to my normal thing, and all that stuff goes away. You're exercising, you're sweating that out. And that's why I tell people, just get back to normal. It's the crazy extremes. People go on vacation and eat a ton, then come back and starve themselves. You're wrecking your system. You're wrecking your metabolism. You're wrecking your metabolic flexibility. That is why you're gaining weight, because your body's starving. Then the next time you overeat, your body's going to hold all that. So
yes. Yeah. It's catastrophic.
Just getting back to normal is the way to go.
That's the key. Yeah.
So
I'm super thankful that we have on this.
Of course. Call. Thank you for having me. Like I said, I know there's a lot of things we could have gone on tangents, but
no, this is great. We should definitely do another one sometime.
Absolutely.
I'd like to come on.
Absolutely.
Where can people find you on social media if they want to reach out, if they have questions?
Yeah. So on Instagram, it's just Maximized Nutrition. And that's the company, Instagram. And then, our website is maximized-nutrition.com. You can find that on Instagram too. But just Maximize Nutrition. And we do free intros. If you want to set up a call and talk and see what we can do for you, we're happy to do that.
That's awesome. I'm sure people will find out. This is really great.
Okay. Well, thank you, Kyle. I appreciate you having me on.
You're very welcome. You guys out there listening, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching on YouTube. You guys have a great day. And as always, keep moving forward.